Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Let's play a game. What do all of these names have in common? Change my mind. Exit 12. Distracted boyfriend. And if you haven't guessed it yet, how about Bernie Sanders and his mittens? All right, you may have guessed by now that the answer is memes. Today and tomorrow, we're going to dive into two memes with local connections. We're going to do it alongside some people who know a lot about the subject right now. Amory Sievertson and Ben Brock Johnson are the co-hosts of the WBUR podcast, Endless Thread. And this season, Endless Thread is talking all things memes, what they tell us about ourselves and the world around us. We'll be talking with Amory and Ben in a couple of minutes, but first I want to play a piece of sound from the first episode of their season about the origins of the meme Kilroy Was Here. Now, the first person you're going to hear is Phil Edwards of Vox. In this sound, he is recounting visiting the National World War II Memorial in Washington, D.C. You'll also hear Ben and Amory in there.
It's very beautiful, but I'd heard that there was this secret thing hidden around the corner. And so I go, I'm looking for it, I don't see it.
The it here was not the memorial itself. Phil didn't feel much of a connection to that. It felt too abstract. But this secret treasure he was looking for, that is what drew him to this monument and what moved him once he found it.
And I finally peek around, and over a fence just beyond it, kind of hidden in the corner, is a little drawing. And it's of a man peeking over a wall, his giant nose is kind of hanging over it, and under it it says, Kilroy Was Here.
Kilroy Was Here. Hiding in plain sight on the World War II Memorial in Washington, D.C., a little image with text staring back at him.
The eyes are basically usually two dots. In some cases, they're drawn differently. But two dots, and then it's just a line drawing.
The line drawing is extremely spare. It's this little bald head with beady eyes and a big droopy nose and two sets of little fingers, all peering over a horizontal line that looks like a wall. Even though it's meant to feel like a secret, it's not. The image and text is literally carved into the stone of this memorial.
This was part of the design of the monument from the beginning, and I was really interested in how something so ephemeral as this graffiti could make it onto a monument and actually endure to be like a part of World War II history.
This graffiti was part of World War II history because during the war, this little doodle wasn't just here.
I mean, he ends up everywhere.
Everywhere as in all over the globe. And yet, for a long time, nobody knew why, where it came from. It was just this recurring, mysterious piece of graffiti. Sometimes the text changed, there were different versions of the image, but the basic building blocks were always recognizable.
That was an excerpt from episode one of the new season of WBUR's Endless Thread. We caught up this week with Ben Brock Johnson and Amory Sievertson, co-hosts of Endless Thread, about Kilroy. And I started by asking them their own favorite memes.
I always stand by the Willy Wonka when he has his head rested in his hand and, you know, he's making that expression that's like, oh, yes, do please tell me how hard your life is. That sort of a thing.
And Ben, how about you?
Recently, I've gone back to one that everybody knows, I feel, or at least that's what it feels like when you know a meme, is that everyone else knows the exact same meme, but then quickly you discover that people don't know what you're talking about sometimes when you're describing them. But the one I'm thinking of right now is the dog sitting inside of the cavern that is on fire, and the dog is saying, this is fine.
So let's back up. And I will say, I think if I had to answer the question, it's a pre-internet meme. It is the fact that in the 80s, I saw Andre the Giant's face spray painted everywhere.
Oh, yeah. Great one. Obey.
Yes. Obey. Exactly. So that's the one I think that sticks most for me. So let's back up because we've just talked about a bunch of them, some from the internet era, some not. Your first episode is about a pre-internet meme. So what is a meme, Amory?
A meme, it's easiest to think of it like a gene, but for cultural information. So it's a unit of cultural information that passes from person to person or society to society, civilization to civilization. And as it passes, it changes. So whether that's the text or the caption changing on an image, or maybe it's a caption that remains the same, like nature is healing, and it's the image that changes. It's a different relevant piece of information that represents nature is healing. So it is just like this little unit of culture that passes and morphs a little bit as it passes.
And that morphing and passing, Ben, is part of what makes a meme like viral and successful versus something that just kind of dies on the vine.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that over time, if a meme is successful, it creates an in-group, right? And sometimes that means it also creates an out-group. But the people who really resonate with the meme, it's in its original form, or at least the form that it's reaching them at, they then take it and remix it, evolve it, put their own spin on it, and continue to amplify it out in the world. And it's really fun to watch them spread, and also interesting and sometimes scary.
So we, I think, in Boston, love to pride ourselves on being the origin of many important things, some might say most important things. And you guys start with this meme that predates meme, right? With Kilroy yep. was here. And it turns out deep inner local origins and maybe one of the first. So talk about that a little bit.
Yeah. So there's a lot of arguments about what the first meme is. This one, Kilroy was here, is a lot of people agree that this one is really the first meme, or by some measures the first meme. But there are also memes that are even older than this one. This one started just before World War II, as near as we can tell, although it has some older origins as well. But even like in the Middle Ages, monks drawing snails in manuscripts, there are earlier and earlier examples of memes. But Kilroy was here. It reminds me of Ziggy.
Yeah.
Like that cartoon, if that makes sense. Like this kind of like simple line drawing with a sort of bulbous nose peeking over a wall. And it started, as near as we can tell, it started right here in Boston.
So take us there, Amory, to, without giving too much away, but take us there a little bit on how it did start.
Yeah, well, as a resident of Quincy myself, I have to say it started in Quincy, Ben. Not
oh, my bad.
Quincy
my bad.
People
at least I didn't say Cambridge, right? At least I, yeah, okay. Yeah,
yeah, there was a shipyard in Quincy where a lot of major vessels were made that were sent out into World War II. And there was a ship inspector there who worked in the shipyard named James J. Kilroy. And his job was basically to inspect the rivets of the ship that were, you know, literally holding the ship together. And as he's going around and inspecting these rivets, you're supposed to kind of sign your name or at least take stock of what rivets have been checked. And the riveters are getting credit for every rivet they put in that ship.
They get paid by the rivet.
Literally paid by the rivet. And so you want the inspector to think that you have installed as many rivets as possible. So James J. Kilroy, the inspector, was literally signing his name in yellow grease crayon. Kilroy was here so that he would know, I already inspected this part of the ship. You guys aren't going to fool me in thinking that you have put more rivets than you've actually put in this part of the ship.
Basically to keep from double counting.
To keep from double counting. Right. And the word is that these ships sometimes were moving out of the shipyard so quickly. They were being made so quickly that normally what would have been painted over, Kilroy was here in the underbelly of the boat, they didn't even have time to paint over it. So some of these ships were going out into battle still with that yellow grease crayon marking Kilroy was here there, which means that this message, which really only meant something to the people making the ships, was then going out into battle and going around the world for the Allied forces in this case to see. And kind of it became almost like a comforting symbol that, you know, an American crew made this ship that's going out into battle.
There's another interesting aspect to it, which I learned in producing this episode, which is some of the people who were building the ships ended up serving, and they would literally build the ship and then get on it and go overseas and serve. Those people end up spreading the meme that way as well. And like Amory said, it starts out as this kind of surveillance tool for an inspector, but it ends up being this thing that people recognize as a sign of friendliness, a sign that someone like them, someone on their side, had passed through. And that we thought was a really powerful and interesting aspect to the meme as well.
So it actually kind of haunted me, because as I listened to you tell the story, the idea that somebody would so desperately feel alone and lost that they would need to find that common bond, that meaning in this bulbous nose peering over the edge of a wall in these three words, Kilroy was here, was actually deeply haunting, I thought.
Yeah.
It's interesting to hear you say that. I haven't thought of it so much as haunting, because I've really clung to what was described to us as a comforting aspect, and maybe as a sign of force, right? My brain was kind of broken open while working on this series when someone suggested to me that even the American flag itself has become a kind of meme, because it means, you know, you could say, no, hands down, it means American, you know, patriotism, but it doesn't mean that to everyone else. You know, we all react to symbols differently. And so Kilroy was here, for some people, might have been a sign of strength. Rumor had it that it had been written in, what was it, Ben, like a Joseph Stalin's bathroom stall, or that Joseph Stalin saw it in a bathroom stall.
Yes.
It was meant to be this kind of intimidating, you know, pro-American or pro-allied forces message, but also to some other people, a sign of comfort, you know, have heart, that there are other people out here who have your back, and we're in this together, and stay strong, even though you're thousands and thousands of miles away from home.
Where it was drawn around the world, sometimes it lasted longer than the GIs' lives, right, who were drawing this thing. And I found that aspect of it absolutely haunting. But memes, I think, so often serve as this kind of unofficial yet very relatable form of communication among regular people, you know, quote unquote, where you can put a feeling or an idea out into the world and it really resonates with tons of people all over the place. And it's not necessarily propaganda, it's not official messaging, but it's actually this thing that people really respond to. And I think, honestly, like the "this is fine, everything is on fire" meme that we were referencing earlier is another example of that, like people have felt during COVID, right? Like this thing that, like, it can denote sadness or frustration or dismay or despair just as much as it can, you know, denote a joke or something funny.
So, Amory, let's pick up on Ben's point about the timelessness, or at least the fact that the meme outlived some of the people to whom it was important, and maybe even who etched it somewhere or drew it somewhere. It's mm-hmm. still present today. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, you know, I don't know how often it is still being written, but there's definitely, it lives on in a way that there is a forum on Reddit, there's a subreddit, there's a website that's maintained by, I think, someone with connections to the Quincy shipyard, where people are still logging sightings of Kilroy was here. I went for a hike in the Quincy quarries the other weekend, and I saw a Kilroy was here graffitied onto a rock there.
Wow.
Right. So there's a little magic in it, in that you don't know who put it there. You don't know why they put it there. You don't know where they first saw it. You don't know if they know the story behind it. But it does have this energy behind it, this kind of timelessness, that someone saw it somewhere and wanted to keep it going for who knows what reason. But someone else is going to see that on that rock in Quincy Quarries, and then maybe they're going to write it somewhere else. And maybe they're assigning a completely different meaning to it.
It's also in a Seinfeld episode and an Outkast song, and it's like it gets referenced in a lot of pop culture as well. There's a horror movie that came out, I think, a couple of years ago that was titled Kilroy Was Here. So it survives through pop culture as well, which I think is interesting.
All right. So tomorrow we get to have you back, and we're going to talk about what I guess I have to believe is maybe the most consummate Boston-based meme, which is Scumbag Steve. Is that fair?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yeah. All right. And one thing, one sneak preview about Scumbag Steve, for people who are going to be excited to tune in for our further conversation tomorrow.
Well, it's not just Scumbag Steve himself. He's also joined by his mom.
And that is the fascinating part. Okay, let's stop there. Ben Brock Johnson, Amory Sievertson, co-hosts of WBUR's podcast Endless Thread. You can listen to the full episodes from this season at WBUR.org or download them in podcast form wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks to both of you. I'll look forward to talking to you again tomorrow.
See you tomorrow.
Thank you so much.